So hello everybody, my name is Bernice Chi, and today I'm going to talk about perceived stress as a risk factor for lower compliance with health behavior instructions following an acute myocardial infarction. Again, we have the authors have no relationships to disclose. So drugs don't work in patients who don't take them, according to Dr. Koop, the former Surgeon General of the United States. However, it is really hard to make sure that our patients follow the instructions and treatments prescribed by health practitioners. And how does that apply to acute myocardial infarction, aka AMI? So it is realizing the importance of compliance with treatment and instructions. The American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association highly recommended that patients be advised on several behavior instructions, including doing physical activities, controlling body weight, following a healthy diet, taking medications on time, and going to follow-up appointments, and also going to cardiac rehabilitations. However, compliance to all these instructions is not optimal. And some previous research has shown that compliance with these behavioral instructions is associated with better health outcomes, including reduced readmission, quality of life, mental and physical well-being, and survival, and also recurrence of AMI. And again, some research has shown that the adherence is suboptimal among patients with acute myocardial infarction. Some statistics show that adherence can be as low as 20% or even lower. And again, the reason for low adherence is not well understood currently in research. So what are some possible factors leading to low adherence? Based on some previous literature, higher perceived stress can be linked with this outcome. Again, perceived stress is defined as the person's perception of how stressful an event or experience can be. Some research showed that high perceived stress is linked with worse health states, unhealthy behaviors, decreased adherence to treatment, mainly medications. And these research are done among HIV/AIDS patients and kidney transplant patients. Past literature has also shown that higher perceived stress is linked with poor cognitive abilities and worse memory and encoding. And so based on this past literature, we can see that perceived stress can be a potential factor leading to low adherence to treatment and medical instructions. And especially for heart attacks like AMI, it's a really stressful event. So it could be that higher perceived stress interferes with the understanding and thus consequently the adherence to discharge instructions. However, it is not known if stress contributes to AMI patients' adherence to hospital discharge recommendations. There's no previous literature on this topic. And therefore, our current study, we aim to examine whether perceived stress contributes to AMI patients' low adherence to hospital discharge instructions during the year after a heart attack. And we hypothesize that higher perceived stress is linked with worse adherence. So the study sample include 411 patients who had an AMI event. They were recruited within 2 weeks of hospitalization. And in the final analysis, we included 349 patients, and the inclusion criteria is below. So these patients were recruited from four hospitals in Connecticut, the Yale New Haven Hospital, Bridgeport, St. Raphael, St. Vincent's, and the inclusion criteria included predetermined AMI criteria based on the ENRICH study, and we make sure that these patients were cognitively intact based on the short portable mental status questionnaire with a score of higher than 6 to make sure they are cognitively capable of answering our questions and adhere to instructions. And we also make sure patients completed the stress questionnaire and also has adherence measures at the follow-up time points. And we make sure that in the documentation, i.e. their medical charts, they have received discharge instructions. These are the baseline characteristics of our study cohort. The average age is 64 years, 38% of females, 59% of post-secondary education, 59% were married or living with a partner, 26% is living alone, 13% is non-Hispanic Black, 12% is Hispanic, and 46% has a ST segment elevated myocardial infarction. And females and people with lower education were significantly more likely to have higher perceived stress based on these baseline characteristics. We control for this by stratifying our analysis later. So study methods, the main predictor we investigated is perceived stress. It is measured by the 4-item perceived stress scale. And we measure that during the 1 month since hospitalization. We ask the patient 4 questions to assess how often they feel or think in a certain way. So for example, one question is, in the last month, how often have you felt that you were unable to control the important things in your life? And basically, these questions are meant to measure how stressful they feel in their life. So the response is basically measured in a 5-point Likert scale. So 0 is never, and then 4 means very often. So the higher the score, the more stressful they feel in their life. So for comparison, we classified our cohort into 3 groups according to their stress level. So the highest stress group is our highest quintile, corresponding to a score of 8 to 16. And the low stress group is our lowest quintile with a score of 0 to 3, and the rest of them is moderate stress group. We divided these cohort into 3 groups for easier comparison and also based on previous research in similar area. And in the regression model for higher sensitivity, we use the total score as a continuous measure. So the outcome is adherence to behavior instructions that they received upon discharge from their hospitalization. And these were measured by trained research nurses at follow-up points of 1 month, 8 months, and 12 months. So the patients were asked how often they follow instructions on eating a healthy diet, attending cardiac rehabilitation, engaging in physical activity, taking prescribed medications, and watching for heart attack symptoms to inform doctors about. Again, these instructions were highly recommended by the American Cardiological Association and of the organization. So, again, the adherence measures is based on a 4-point Likert scale. 1 corresponds to number, and 4 corresponds to often. So the percentage of received instructions that a patient scored 4 was used in the models. So the percentage of instructions that the patient followed often, that's our final measure. So the covariates we control for in our analysis include social demographics, age, gender, race, marital status, education, physical health, activities of daily living, child's comorbidity, AMI severity. We also control for mental health, measured by cognitive ability, the history of depression, and current depressive feelings. Another covariate that we control for is social support, measured by living alone or not. These are predetermined covariates we control for in our analysis. So for statistical analysis, to compare these variables across the different levels of perceived stress, we use Pearson chi-squared, Fisher's exact for categorical, and t-test for continuous variables. We also use a multivariate linear regression model to study the relationship between perceived stress and adherence. And we integrate all three follow-up time points into a longitudinal analysis using the longitudinal linear mixed effects model, adjusted for covariates, hospital sites, and time stress interaction. And we also stratify by gender and education. So first part of our results show that overall adherence to each instruction is suboptimal. So for watching for symptoms to inform doctors about adherence is 67.6%. For prescribed medication, it's a little bit higher, it's 88.1%. Physical activity is 44.6%. And for cardiac rehabilitation, it's low, it's 13.2%, but this number falls into the range of previous literature, mainly because patients are older and older adults tend to not go into cardiac rehabilitation. Again, this falls into the range of previous literature. And healthy diet is 61.8%. And this chart on the y-axis, it shows adherence to instructions calculated by the percent of received instructions that a patient followed often. And on the x-axis is the three categories of perceived stress, low, moderate, and high, at each follow-up point of 1 month, 8 months, and 12 months. So this result supported our hypothesis that higher perceived stress is correlated with lower adherence to instructions. And our correlation is statistically significant. And stress, again, our multivariate linear regression model shows that stress was negatively associated with adherence. At each of the follow-up point, the adjusted beta is about negative 2, meaning that for each 1 point increase in perceived stress score, there's a correlated 2% decrease in the adherence. And overall, it's again negative 2 for the beta, meaning that longitudinally integrating all time points, again, 1 point increase in perceived stress is correlated with 2% decrease in adherence. And the negative impact of stress on adherence is maintained over a 1 year follow-up period. And p-value is again significant. So the association between stress and adherence found in men and women and that all education levels are shown below in the two tables. The p-values are not significant, meaning that the negative impact of stress on adherence is found regardless of gender or education. However, we can see that female and patients with lower than high school education tend to be impacted more by high stress. And these patients are generally, based on past literature, they also tend to have a higher stress and also worse recovery from heart attack. Again, association between stress and adherence are found in men and women. So, in conclusion, perceived stress is a significant predictor of poor adherence to medical instructions upon discharge, and this relationship is stable over time. So, our results show that patients can be screened for high perceived stress, and maybe these patients, according to the results and their patients' stress, healthcare practitioners can adjust their communication styles and encourage patients to be engaged in stress reduction strategies. And females and patients with lower education are more impacted, and they are also more vulnerable for worse heart attack recovery based on past literature. So some strength of our study include this is the first prospective cohort study on this topic among heart attack patients. Again, past studies are all cross-sectional or with really short follow-up period. So the validity is not as, I guess, not as high as this one. And we also identified a modifiable risk factor for low adherence. So using the PSS scale, we can screen patients for perceived stress and identify those patients so health practitioners and their also family members can adjust their communication styles accordingly to ensure that patients follow instructions. And we also use medical chart abstraction to assess the instructions that these patients received. Past studies all use self-report. That's really vulnerable to recall bias, so we use a more accurate assessment of instructions that they received. And some future directions. It's worthwhile to study the quality of communication between healthcare practitioners and patients, so some qualitative study can be conducted. And we also would like to see some more additional measures of adherence. The current study uses patients' self-report on their adherence. So future studies may be advised to incorporate some more objective measures like pill counting or monitoring of their adherence. And they can also, some future studies can also examine if reducing stress improves AMI patients' ability to adhere to discharge instructions. So some interventional studies can be conducted to investigate this topic. And that's it. Thank you. Yes, we have measures for past depression and current depressive readings. So we addressed that in our analysis already.
Thank you. Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, no problem. So we want to isolate perceived stress from depression because they follow two different pathways. So that's why we addressed that in the analysis. Yeah. Thank you for the question. We use the 11-item one, so it's abbreviated. Thank you.